Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, today we're going to wrap our minds around a subject I know all of you, because you're all into technological savvy, especially when it comes to computers, emails, all kinds of good stuff. We're going to be talking about how in the world we can conquer our email and other aspects of technology, using it to work for us, not feeling like we're getting drowned in the experience of dealing with maybe 500 emails, 1,000 emails. I was talking with an associate today, and that's exactly what they were going through. So my guest, Paul Burton, is with us, and he has put out a publication that I was really impressed with, Quiet Spacing, Conquering Email, Mastering Workloads, and Achieving Balance. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Donna.
Paul, I was really quite surprised by the material when I saw it. You really get direct and to the point right off the bat. You're not superfluous in the way that you deal with one of the biggest plagues, shall I say that, electronic plagues that so many of us are looking at. We'll look at our inbox and we'll say, gee, I have got 1,523 emails. Am I going to have time to go through these? It's really a bear. How did you get
it really
into
is.
This?
I mean, yeah, no, I'm sorry. I was going to say that email really is the boon and the bane of modern day existence for us. And as somebody who essentially provides a time management service to my clients and to the audiences I speak with, it behooves me to be direct to the point and not waste anybody's time.
Well, I compliment you because I think you have done an absolutely wonderful job with this. Now, you used to be an attorney. You're very comfortable whether you're in a corporate environment or the entrepreneurial environment. And I'd like to know how an attorney decides to become an organizational specialist.
Actually, I read a book recently published by the Harvard Business Press called When Professionals Must Lead. And there was a very interesting chapter where the people who wrote the book had done a lot of studying of both professional service providers, be they lawyers or doctors or engineers or any other form of profession, and entrepreneurs. And what they found was that the personality types and the drive of professionals and entrepreneurs are very similar, except at one divergent point. And the point that they articulated was professionals like to solve puzzles. Entrepreneurs like to create new puzzles.
Ah.
And I think that as a result, for me, it took me, frankly, a few years, about two decades, to figure out I was more of a puzzle creator than a puzzle solver. Though, understandably, one could go down either path before discovering which of those two elements of the puzzle you prefer.
Technology, as you said, is absolutely phenomenal. At the same time, it drives you nuts. I was on the phone with a professional this morning. This man is very much involved in hands-on entrepreneurial activity. And he said, I haven't even been in a place, because he's involved with making a movie and doing photography and all kinds of things. He said, I haven't even looked at my email for a week. And I know he may get a few gray hairs when he does, because he's just going to see all of this stuff that's bombarding him, that he's going to have to go through both the spam as well as all kinds of things. I don't care what your filters are. I find even though I put something in the block spam, it doesn't always do it. This is maddening. So let's get down to some pretty bare-bones stuff. And your book, Quiet Spacing, I think goes a long way towards dealing with this. What would you say is one of the first things that, people need to be aware of when they're dealing with email? Because email, my goodness, all of us really like it, but at the same time, we just sort of groan, especially if we're in business, and you have, you know, you end up spending 2 or 3 hours a day on email, and you don't really want to spend that time.
Right, and I think that's a, there's a yin and a yang issue there in many ways. On the one hand, we need to use our email, we need to be on our email, and in many ways, we do a lot of work on email. So it's a, we have to be in front of it, we have to do what we need to be doing in terms of communication through email. However, there's a few Pavlovian behaviors that we've developed, and they're the fodder of many jokes and many pratfalls and stunts, and frankly, quite a few very real situations that have caused legislation to occur as well as other things, and that is the need to obsessively check email or have email notifiers, alerts, pop up, ring, vibrate, or do whatever they do. My very first recommendation to my clients and to the audiences with whom I work is to turn off new message alerts. There is absolutely no reason to know every single time you receive an email.
We have never treated, and
it's a little bit like the phone versus the physical mail that we get, but we do simply need to turn off the alerts. And then correspondingly, process email in batches like we do our regular mail. And so turn off the alert, check your email as frequently as you feel you need to in order to stay responsive, but understand that every time you get a ping or alert, it distracts you. That distraction, and I've timed it many, many times, literally while working with an individual client, is easily 4 to 6 seconds. Easily 4 to 6 seconds. And if we get the corporate average of 100 emails a day, that's over 400 seconds a day, which aggregates to 6.5 minutes a day, or over 24 hours of lost productivity a year, which is the equivalent of 3 working days gone, just flinching back and forth between emails coming in and what we were working on before that alert, you know, sounded.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I really think that that is a number one step. I really do. When I saw that, I said, yes, I agree with that. Because it does interrupt your thought flow. It does interrupt whatever you're focusing on at the moment. Now, though, there are those people that they're happy as clams when they get stuff like this, that they're not involved with their what we would call a time management factor of priority. So they just say, this is great. I mean, I've got a few friends that I actually had to ask them to stop sending me emails because all they do is sit on the internet and go through and find all kinds of neat stuff, which is great, but I honestly don't have the time to go through 20 of their emails and watch everything that they send me or listen to it or whatever it is that they send. So prioritizing email is another thing, and I can plead guilty to this. I find that so many times I'll look at an email and I'll go, okay, that is interesting to me. Do I want to come back to that? What am I going to do with it? Well, I've become pretty efficient at deleting stuff, but at the same time, there might be a thought in here, gee, I might use this. Where would I put it? What would I do with it? And then you find you've built this aggregate of all of these emails and these things start popping up. Do you want to archive these? Do you want to archive these? What would you say to someone like me that doesn't delete everything?
Well, and this is exactly where the really slippery slope for email in particular, because it comes at us all the time, every day. Quiet spacing is built on the notion of one of the component parts of quiet spacing, if you will, one of the legs of the three-legged stool, is that we need to make decisions as opposed to deferring decisions. So when we're looking at an individual email, we need to have a framework around which to make a decision about what to do with that. So in some ways, this is a touch-it-once model, and there are many touch-it-once models out there. The quiet spacing framework says there's only 4 kinds of stuff in email. There are only 4 types of email, if you will, or categories, depending on how you want to think about this. There's trash, the things we throw away, obviously, so we would delete those. There is archive information, things we may need to know in the future, but we're not quite sure. So we'll put it away for long-term storage. Think of sending this out to your storage unit somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's reference material, and this is materials that you would use in order to engage in your day. Now, if you're working at an office, this might be something that you would refer to frequently in order to do your job. And then finally, and the most important category, really, is work. Things that need to be done, you know, need to actually be completed, whether they're by you or by somebody you're going to delegate this work to. But really, in the 7 years I've done this now, those are the only four categories we've found. Trash, archive, reference, work. Now, the system gets more involved, and there are things that need to be done. But really, once you know and you've made a decision about these four categories, what you do with it's pretty straightforward, because we're going to delete our trash, we're going to file away our archival materials, and we should have a way to do that, just like we do our paperwork. We just don't stack it up everywhere. Reference material gets put away on a shelf, which is electronically, you can create that in your email itself or on your hard drive. Same with archival, for that matter. And then finally, work, you know, you'll have to do something with the work emails, things that truly do need to be done. They need to be prioritized. Quiet spacing operates on a reminder or a tickler-based system. But there are other ways to organize and prioritize your email, and I would hesitate to, you know, drill down too far because of the risk of confusion without example. Mm-hmm. But the idea there is we've really categorically removed 75% of your email out of the inbox by determining that it's closed material. That nothing further needs to be done. It just needs to be deleted or filed, leaving us with really just 25% of our email categorically. Now, it generally tends to be more of your email in terms of sheer numbers, but we have eliminated a lot of the distraction, or what I call noise, in the inbox by just clearing out that which you don't need to look at anymore.
True, and that's a very, very good idea. There, you talk about a workflow model, and that is what you have been discussing with us on a particular level right now, and you say performance and balance are results achieved, they're not given, and we have to want to change our behavior. This is to develop a whole different attitude regarding email, so that we realize that this is a tool that we utilize and we're not going to be overwhelmed with it. What has been the biggest challenge for you? You've implemented this system. You fine-tuned it. What was the biggest challenge for you that made you decide that you educated yourself and then wanted to be able to help others with this?
Well, interestingly, I was doing some leadership coaching in the legal profession, actually, years ago. And I distinctly remember, and I tell this story often when I'm speaking, sitting in the office with a very successful lawyer across the desk from him. The stacks of paper and notebooks were precariously balanced all around me, such that sitting across the desk from him felt a little dangerous. And so I was mildly distracted by that myself. And in trying to engage with him in a conversation about the substance of what we were trying to accomplish together, he was constantly being diverted by the new email alerts coming through, the telephone on his desk ringing, the smartphone, at that time it was a BlackBerry, vibrating around the desk with alerts going off, people stopping by his office, you know, banging on the door, getting his attention. And I realized right then that in order for me to be successful with him and for him to be successful in his desire to develop better leadership, that we needed to literally quiet down his space. And so that notion stuck with me that day, and I left his office, and I'm somewhat of a process-oriented person by definition, but I went out and I researched all of the very fine products out there on time management, on workflow management, and there are very many famous ones. The Franklin Covey system is an obvious one. And what I realized was most of those were conceived prior to the technological boom of the last 10 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And as a consequence, they worked really well when you got your mail once or twice a day and when you got maybe 15 phone calls a day and you had a few meetings you had to go to. But that has all changed. with our global interconnectivity and our high portability of our devices. And so a new system, a new architecture was, in many ways, a more simple, elegant architecture was mandated in order for us to, again, regain that sense of command of our day, regain a sense of balance in our lives. And, you know, work is a part of life. We need to be in command of it in order to feel balanced. It's when we're running ragged and never feeling caught up that we start to talk about work-life balance. Most of my clients who have embraced quiet spacing and have really achieved this new level of command feel much more balanced, because success is a feeling, not a result. It is something you must maintain in a discipline, like all disciplines, the simple discipline of taking a shower on a regular basis. People don't think about that today because of our hygienic predisposition. But mm-hmm. that's a relatively new thing in this world.
And that is true.
Yet it is a And so if you think of managing your email, if you will, to oversimplify, it's like taking a shower. It's something that has to be done pretty much all the time. And once you do it, you feel better about yourself once you've done it.
You brought up a factor that I think that we have observed with many people, and I'm going to address the issue of texting here. We now are getting to the point of having electronic devices that are moving forward with such a speed. You can do banking in a handheld unit. You can view emails. You can do all kinds of things. And this is something where people really, and I think even more so with the younger generation, but I've seen it with the older generation. They are so attached to this instantaneous response. We got to do it right now. We've got to do this, 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 and this, to turn all of that off. I've actually known people that almost get phobic. I can't do that. I might miss something. And I had to chuckle because I was visiting with someone one day that had gone on a camping trip with a woman. And this woman was out, and they're in the middle of the woods in somewhere of God's green acres. And this woman said, "My cell phone isn't working," and she was getting so panicky. And the gal looked around her. She said, "Excuse me, you are in the middle of the forest in this area of country. They don't have cell towers out here. You're going to have to do without it." This woman really went through a point of agony. It is something that I just find fascinating, and the image that you give with the attorney, I think, is more common than not.
Yeah, I think that I always look at these issues, and I get asked that question frequently, as you can imagine. And I think there are some very simple realities and some simple rules to follow. Number one, the pendulum always swings too far in each direction before it settles out. And the adoption and the adaptability of these things are changing just as frequently as the technology is. Younger people tend to gravitate towards technology sooner than older people. But as you pointed out, Donna, there are many, many people who are beyond youth, let's say, who are just as addicted and Pavlovian to the BlackBerry, to their cell phones, as many are, or as many of the young people are. Secondly, and the rule that I tend to espouse and promote among all of us, irrespective of age, economic level, status in an organization, is one of fundamental practicality versus manners. You know, what is established in terms of just good behavior?
Mm-hmm.
It's not even ethical so much as it's just your basic manners. Would you feel comfortable having someone else ignoring you in order to engage in a separate conversation in an environment where a more intimate connection is normal, vis-a-vis out to dinner, vis-a-vis, in your example, out hiking with friends? What's appropriate? And I don't think it's really that hard to answer that question. I think that these devices are wonderful, and I have an iPhone. I have ultra-portable laptops. I am a technology junkie, but all things are in their place.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring my iPhone with me virtually everywhere I go. But I do not do what affectionately was referred to as the BlackBerry prayer, at dinner. I'm not looking down, texting, or emailing with my friends while I'm having dinner with other people at the table. I'm having dinner with them right now. And manners never change, and how we treat each other, frankly, shouldn't change much, irrespective of whether we're talking about a TV, BlackBerry, telephone, book, newspaper. All of these are forms of communication, and all of them have their place, and we will adapt to them over time. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're seeing more of that. We're seeing legislation saying, look, if you're too stupid not to know to stop texting while you're driving, we'll make it illegal. You know, we'll do something about that. Unfortunately, we have to legislate stupidity, but that's, you know, the way it goes.
You bring up some points about work spacing. And again, your title of your book is Quiet Spacing. So having a working environment that you enjoy being in and that's comfortable, now you have the professional environment and you had this quiet spacing arrangement. And I know a lot of people, especially those that are listening to the show, are often in their own home businesses. And I think having an environment that has a sense of openness to it is so important. Again, I'll go back to what you said about the attorney space that you were sitting in. It was so overwhelmed with papers that you have this feeling, and I've been in environments like this, where you wonder, can this person get anything done? They have so much stuff all around them. How do they find a space to work? And all of us can get to that point. If we're doing research or we're doing whatever we're doing, we can have stuff spread out all over the place. But having the openness of space is really going to work. We're not going to have a perfect world all the time. Give us some of those recommendations for a good working environment, whether it's in the home office or if it is in a standard office.
Yeah, well, regardless of where you work, I espouse this, so I drink my own Kool-Aid. One needs an organized space. And when I speak on this issue, I tend to speak a lot after a meal, whether it's a dinner engagement or a lunch engagement. So, you know, you're always trying to find ways to engage your audience physically so that they're staying somewhat, the blood's not settling into their stomach too quickly anyway. And so regularly I'll ask everybody in the audience, I'll say, how many people here have a kitchen? And, you know, of course, everybody has a kitchen, so they raise their hand. And I said, how many people here have a silverware drawer in their kitchen? And, you know, of course, most people have a silverware drawer in their kitchen. And I said, okay, last question. I said, how many people here have a junk drawer in their kitchen? And, you know, again, the vast majority of people have that miscellaneous drawer in their kitchen. And I said, how many people's workspaces look like their junk drawer instead of their silverware drawer? And the point of that is, when we go to the silverware drawer, we can open it up, grab a fork, and close the drawer. It's extremely efficient and effective to be organized. When we go to our junk drawer, we open it up, and we start riddling around through the stuff in there looking for the black magic marker that we're looking for, or the pair of scissors, or the rubber bands we know we put in there. And what's happening in the former case is productivity. We're opening a drawer, we're getting a utensil, we're closing the drawer, and we're getting back to, you know, whatever the activity was that required that tool, that utensil. When we're over at the junk drawer, we're engaging in what I call activity. We're doing stuff, but nothing's getting done. We're basically sifting through all of this stuff, and it may only take us 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds to find that thing. But if you're doing it 20 times a day, 100 times a day, 1,000 times a month, that's tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. That's less time spent with your family. That's less time going for a walk. That's less time even just moving forward with a project. And so the more you can organize your space and the more you can reduce interruption and distraction, including things like don't face towards traffic, don't face the door, whether it's at home or at the office, because your eyes, your peripheral vision is 120 degrees, you're going to see that movement and you're going to look up. And that slight movement and that lookup costs you a few seconds to get back on track. You know, people can see you're working if you have your shoulder to the door, your back to the door. They know that you're working. They will interrupt you if they need to. It doesn't even require you to close your door. Having a clear space on your desk, having a nice big open space to work on, again, peripheral vision, well-organized, don't have your monitor right there, don't have your telephone right there. These are things that will interrupt you while you're trying to focus on a particular project. Do one thing at a time. Don't try to do five things at a time. It's been proven over and over and over again that multitasking simply is less efficient because of the what they call the cycle time or the switch cost of moving between one activity to the next. You have to remember where you were each time you switch back and forth. And that's kind of a whole host of examples, but if you can do those few things, you'll find you're getting more done, which means you frankly just need to spend less time at that desk.
You have a number of very good suggestions, and I'm going to toss a few of these out. Whenever we send out an email, and this isn't necessarily an email where you're just saying, hi, love your dog. That's not what we're talking about. If you send out an email that has specific information that's important, that there's a possibility that someone may say, would you resend that? Because that has happened to me in business correspondence. Mm-hmm. You CC yourself on every email you send. Now, why in the world I didn't think of that, I don't know, but that is marvelous.
Yeah, CCing, that's one of the big objections I get from many of my clients. Because, of course, I spend a lot of time working with clients on email in particular, and they say, well, wait a minute, Paul, you're supposed to be reducing the amount of email I get, not increasing it. Because, of course, CCing yourself on all emails increases the amount of email. Correction number one, I am in no way promising to reduce the amount of email anyone gets. What I'm trying to do is give you a better way to process the email you are getting. And to that end, the reason I CC myself on email and recommend it to others is that if I'm asking someone to do something for me, I'm delegating a project or I'm investigating some information, I want to control whether or not that information does get back to me or that project does get completed. And the best way to do that is to filter it back into my inbox as opposed to sending it to the ether and hoping someone else will remember to do it, and then I won't wake up at 3 in the morning trying to remember whether or not that got done. Now, the reason I recommend you CC yourself specifically on every email, again, I try to keep my rules very simple, and the rule there is you'll just never wish you had. If you're in the habit of always CCing yourself, you can delete the unnecessary emails that come back to you. Deleting is very quick. But if you try to pick and choose which emails you CC yourself on and you make a mistake, you may be very unhappy with that mistake downstream when you wake up at 3 in the morning because here you are panicked about something. You're not sure whether it got done, and the deadline passed, unfortunately, 8 or 9 hours ago. And so these are the sorts of little rules that help.
Well, you have so many wonderful things in your book, and one of them that I really, really appreciated is when people are sending an email and you're corresponding with them, so many times the topic and the subject matter of the email and its content is going to change, and they keep the same topic in the subject line, and that can be very confusing, and it's a very good idea when you're responding to someone, maybe changing that subject, topic, whatever you have in there, so that there is a fresh look at it. I've had people send me response emails, and they've used the same subject matter and the line, and I've gone in later, if I'm going to save that email, and changed it so that I recognize it for what it is more readily and more easily. And I just think you've got that tip. You've got so many other good tips in your book, Quiet Spacing. Paul, what is your website that people can go to find out more about how they can overcome the email overwhelm and other factors as well?
It's simply www.quietspacing.com, all one word.
www.quietspacing.com. I'm telling you, he's really got some good suggestions in this book, quiet spacing, you can conquer your email, master your workloads, and achieve balance, whether you're in business for yourself or not. It ends up becoming easier. And so many other good suggestions about workspace. He has all kinds of little tags and cards and things that can be very usable, including some video seminars if you're interested in that. Paul, it has been just wonderful having you as a guest. I wish you continued success, and thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today.
Thank you so much, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. Don't forget, quiet spacing. It's a real tool to use. We're going to be back in just a moment. Go to quietspacing.com to find out all the information you're going to want to know. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Rio. I'm the author of the cutting-edge book, Hooked on Raw. I want to give you and your loved ones the gift of optimum health. So when you order my book, Hooked on Raw, which has over 350 delicious, healthy recipes, I'll include my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, for a half price. Just go to my website, rawfoodinfo.com, and click on Holiday Special. That's rawfoodinfo.com. Click on Holiday Special.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. I was so pleased to have Paul on the show today because I have really been trying to get more organized myself. And, you know, it's so easy to get disorganized. If you're like me and you have been very diligent about trying to keep records filed in boxes, and then all of a sudden one day you go out to your garage and you go, good Lord, how did I manage to get 500 boxes out here with all these papers in it? Well, there comes a time when you do have to do some sorting, and you do have to do some straightening out. Well, fortunately, with email, you don't have to deal with scads and scads of paper. It is going to take you some time. But, you know, I figured out this past weekend, because my job was to go through about 200 pounds of paper and to shred it. And it took me hours to be able to do that. But I figured out every box, these storage boxes that you get, these were the smaller ones, not the great big ones, held 25 pounds on average of paper. 25 pounds of paper. And that didn't include the file folders that they were in, because the file folders I can take out and I can reuse. But that's just the loose paper. So when you think about the amount of time it takes you to shred paper and do things, electronic material is just absolutely wonderful. but you do want to be sure that you can save it, because I know that there is a challenge. There are things that get lost in cyberspace. So the tips that Paul had really are very good tips. And I do think that we always are going to have to be on top of things and being organized and getting it all together. And I figured for that 25 pounds of paper that I had to shred, it took me about an hour with two shredding machines, because when they get warm, they turn off, so I have two. So it took about an hour to go through 25 pounds of paper, making sure that the machines don't jam, because if you're like me, sometimes you get a little impatient and you say, well, maybe I'll just add an extra sheet. So even with the amount that you've got, it's really amazing how stuff adds up. Now, I know we've got a caller, and I digress there for a moment, but I wanted to share a little bit of what I've gone through, because I know organizing is very important. If you want to call in and chat with me today, I'd be delighted to do that with you. The telephone number to call into is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Let's take this caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Sandra, calling in from Tucson.
Hi, Sandra. Well, I'm sure the sun is shining where you are.
In a way, it is, yes.
Oh, come on. Don't disillusion me. Here we're battling. We're trying to do our little sun dance here in the Pacific Northwest. You mean the sun isn't shining there in Arizona? Jeez. You know, that's all I see. That's all I think about during winter, the places like New Mexico, Arizona, sun is blue skies, Florida. It is disillusioning when you guys don't have the sun shining. Let's get down to business with you. First thing, Sandra, I am seeing you with shirt sleeves rolled up. You're flexing your muscles, and you're saying, I really feel good about some new ideas I've got. I want to congratulate you, because that is really where your attitudes should be. And I think you have had some interaction with some individuals that have made you feel like you are on top of things. And this is very, very good. I really think you're coming out of a cocoon that you felt you'd been in for too long. And naturally, when we think of a cocoon, we think of a metamorphosis. And you've had to take your own time, and you've had to do it in your own way. And that's all what makes the individual, is that opportunity of choice. And also, I am seeing you deciding that you are looking at a whole new arena of activity and involvement. And it takes courage to be able to step into a new modality. And I want to compliment you. I think that that's good. I think it's marvelous that you are looking at what you can achieve on your own unique level and being willing to explore something that you have never looked at before. So I want to say go for it. You have nothing to lose. You have everything to gain. And I also would like to encourage you to consider doing something else, and that is taking a vocational aptitude test. And the reason I'm recommending it is that I think you have certain strengths that you don't even recognize in yourself. Some strong interest areas that if you were to fold that in to who you are and how you see yourself, it's as if your whole window of self-perception just grows. It's expansive. It's wonderful. You're going to say, wow, I never thought I could look at this, but you do. So I believe that you're in this new patterning, and it is going to be quite a refreshing year, a little agitating at times because it's not in a goose step result, but I do think you're going to be very satisfied as an individual. What question did you have for me today?
I was trying to formulate a question. It's hard for me to do that because I was just waiting to hear back from certain things and feeling that they're all promising, and I'm not sure what to ask.
Then don't ask anything.
Okay.
You don't have to. You can call me back another time and ask.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. There's no requirement. But I want you to enjoy this newness of yourself that you're beginning to recognize. I want you to enjoy it. And I want you to enjoy the spontaneity of your life, along with the self-discipline of doing what you need to do for yourself. Go for it.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Sandra. You have a wonderful day now.
You too.
Thank you. Donna Sebo here. If you'd like to call me, telephone number is 888-815-9756. Oh, before I forget, I want to tell you who's going to be on with me tomorrow. Monetize your passion. Maybe you've always wanted to develop some kind of special duck statue. I don't know what you'd like to do. Rich Germain is going to be my guest tomorrow, and we are going to have quite a conversation about how you can make money doing what you really love doing. And if you're like me, at different times in your life, you go, you have got to be kidding. But he's right. You can. You may need to do it in a different way. So tomorrow, that's what we're going to be talking about, and I think you'll enjoy it. So tell your friends as well. Don't forget, if you miss a show, you can always go into our archives. And those shows are there for your listening pleasure whenever it's convenient for you to do exactly that. By the way, I had started last week about the Chinese zodiac, and we had covered, one, two, three signs. We had talked about those that were rabbits and dragons and tigers. Well, let's move along and let's talk about those people who are born under the sign of the snake. Now, that's in the year of 1929, 41, 53, 65, 77, 89, and 2001, the year of the snake. Now, what does this mean in Chinese astrology? Well, it means that you have uncanny intuition and you have foresight. It's far better to have the foresight than the hindsight. You keep yourself out of trouble, which is very good. People, when they ask you about your advice, usually you're very clear, you're right on with what you perceive, and you really enjoy philosophy, wisdom, you are sophisticated, and you know how to shop for a bargain, and you're a good negotiator. Now, what's going to be happening this year for those of you born under the sign of snake? Well, you are going to find your home is really, really important to you, and being around people and having fun, making time for play is going to be very, very important. Hey, and apparently clearing your environment of clutter, hoo-hoo, you're going to be like me. I'm not under the sign of the snake. But you are going to be enjoying getting rid of a lot of stuff that you don't need, and you are really going to want to do some introspection about yourself, and you want to be out there more. So if you're born under the sign of the snake, you don't have any problems making friends. You really are going to be in a very positive year. Now, what about the sign of the horse? Okay, if you were born in the years 1930, 42, 54, 66, 78, 90, or 2002, this sign is your sign in the Chinese New Year. Perseverance, you have it. You know how to talk to people, and you're very empathetic, and you really can flow very graciously with your words if someone needs cheering up. You're very good. And you're pretty good when it comes to dealing with money, and you're the type of personality that likes to look at the long-term investments, not just the short, quick, get-rich stuff. No, no, no. You like to go out for the stretch. What's going to be out there in front of you? Well, apparently, you have a capacity, born under the sign of the horse, to be very good in dealing with real estate investments. And in your own home, having the environment the way you want it to be is very important, and tenacity is a part of you. If you know that something's worthwhile, you want to do it well, and you are going to really do whatever it takes to make sure that you have the right environment for yourself. And if you're going after a career, you have that tenacity to hang tough until you know that you're with the right people in the right place in the right conditions. So that's if you're the sign of the horse. And then also, what I'm going to do here. I'm checking them off here. The last sign I'm going to talk about today is for those under the sign of sheep. Now, for the sign of the sheep, you have to be born in 1931, 43, 55, 67, 79, 91, or 2003. And you know what? We're going to have to take a break. So for those born in new in those years that I've mentioned, when we come back, I'll give you the rest about the sign of the sheep. They're such cute little critters. 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into if you'd like to chat with me. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Rio, host of the Hooked on Raw radio show on rawenergyradio.com. If you're interested in the raw and living food lifestyle, along with the real story of what's happening to our health freedoms, and you don't mind a little controversy, listen to my radio show and podcasts on rawenergyradio.com. Each week, we interview guests and cover topics you won't hear on mainstream radio. Get informed, healthy, and involved. RawEnergyRadio.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Now, before I tell you about the sign of the sheep, I do want to mention this. There's two wonderful events coming up in March. I am participating in each of them, and I want to tell you about it. Now, this is especially for the people in the Pacific Northwest. I'm going to be appearing at the Northwest Women's Show, and that is March 4th, 5th, and 6th. I finally got my speaking times and everything confirmed, and this is what's going to be going on. On Friday the 4th, I am going to be hosting a wonderful women's forum on the Girl Talk stage. At 11 o'clock, we're going to be talking about health and wellness. We're going to be discussing energy healing. We are going to be discussing other things for wellness, nutrition. It's just going to be marvelous. I have two terrific women that are going to be there. Then from 1 until 2, we are going to be discussing animals. And we're going to be talking about animal communications, how to train animals. All we're going to have a mixture, a composite there, two dynamic women that will be participating in that. And then in the third hour, which is going to be from 2 until 3, we're going to be talking about law. We're going to be talking about how it affects women and children. We're also going to be discussing the juvenile aspects of law and domestic abuse. So this is going to be included in that hour, and you will have a chance to interact with my guests. So this is something I'm looking forward to. I am going to have a booth. It's number 407. The Women's Show, again, is the 4th, 5th, and 6th of March. It is a fabulous opportunity. It's going to be held at the Quest Convention Center that is directly across the street from Quest Field. And the hours are from 10 to 5 on Friday, 10 to 6 on Saturday, 10 to 5 on Sunday. It's absolutely a marvelous event. Go to Northwest Women's Show, Northwest Women's Show, And you go there and you'll get all of the information, directions on how to get there, fees, etc. It is absolutely awesome. I recommend it highly. The 26th of March, I am going to be appearing at the Emerald Spiral. This is being held at Kent Commons. This is an expo where psychics from all over the Pacific Northwest will be appearing, people with products and services, and it's a wonderful, cozy event. It's great. Bring your family. You've got good food there. There's going to be all kinds of wonderful things happening, and it's very intimate. The women's show is a huge show, but this is a more, let's say, community-oriented type of a program. I've been involved with both of these programs for years. I love them both, and I hope that you will come out, and I will have a booth at the Emerald Spiral. Also, at both of them, I will have a number of publication materials on display. So I hope to see you there. Don't forget, emeraldspiral.com. You can go to their website or northwestwomenshow.com. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Okay. For those of you born under the sign of a sheep, you like to entertain. Oh, and you do it so nicely. You enjoy working with teams of people, and you really have a very compassionate side. You really like to help other people. And when it comes to family, those that you love, boy, oh boy, you are very protective. And you really feel that it's part of your responsibility as a person to be able to do something in life where you know you are making this a better world. Now, what's in it this year for you under the sign of sheep? Well, you really feel that your family, and that family can be an extended family through very special friends and associates, you really, really are going to make them your focus this year, because you're going to say, this is my family, these people are significant to me, and you're going to want to remember them, you're going to want to interact with them. This is apparently a year that is very much oriented around family for those born under the sign of the sheep. Well, we just have a few more to go. I can't give them today, but I'll do it tomorrow. Some other time during the week, we'll have to get to the monkeys, the rooster, the dogs, the pig, the rat, and the ox. Yes, we haven't finished with the Chinese astrological signatures for the years that you, or the year that you were born in. Donna Sebo here. If you want to give me a buzz, 888-815-9756. Hey, so many of you out there are looking for work. I came across some very, very good suggestions when you're going on a job interview. The world has really, really changed. Social networking has exploded. So many times people will put photographs or information on the social network without giving it a second thought. I was having lunch last week with a very good friend. She has a member of her family who's in her early 20s, and she made the mistake of putting up on a Facebook page an opinion regarding her boss. Now, fortunately for her, my friend pulled her aside and said, do you realize that you sent out this on Facebook? Now, I got it. I'm family. You've sent this, and you were making, just like you're sitting across from me having a cup of coffee, and you're making all these comments about your boss. And she said, you have already been concerned about the fact that you may not have a job. You might end up being laid off. And this young relative said, yes, but what's wrong with what I did? She said, don't you realize it's public? She said, well, I didn't send it to my boss. She said, that's not the issue. Your boss could very easily have someone checking Facebook to find out if employees are posting things on the social internet that are inappropriate. Now, most of us should have the common sense not to do that, but I think sometimes with social networking, we feel like nobody's going to see what we put out there. Believe me, people do. So you've got to be very discerning, because employers are having people checking Facebook profiles. So if you're on Facebook, guess what? They are researching you. All it takes, they say, is one person sharing information you may not want shared, forwarding a post, or otherwise breaching a trust for the illusion of privacy in a closed network to be eliminated. That raises the hair on the back of your neck, doesn't it? Now, you can always put up a professional email address, but you've got to be very, very careful. Now, there was a spokesperson for LinkedIn that said that a job hunter with a 100% complete profile on that site is 40 times more likely to receive opportunities. And have you checked your credit history? Boy, that is very, very important. If you have a lousy credit history, people are looking at that. I know you think it's private information, but it is not. Well, there are a few tips. My goodness, we're almost out of time here. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. I'm so delighted we were able to share this time together. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you might be, and we'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on BBS Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.